Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Yes, we will circumcise because that's what we do best. We circumcise.
Just the tip. Just the tip. That's
just
all
the tip.
Take off sometimes.
Are you circumcised, Mom?
Yes,
Jesus, we're getting right down to it. Holy cow. Yeah.
We don't play down there.
Nobody's rocking the turtleneck?
Is it?
Turtleneck is probably extinct down there. Like the black rhino.
The turtleneck.
Because the last black rhino got killed by the Jimmy John's guy.
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
Jimmy John's. He was fast. That guy was fucking fast. Okay. Oh, yeah. They're always fast.
Son of a bitch.
Fuck the rhinos, dude. That's the rhinos, man. That's fucked, dude.
Fuck.
I mean, so this is a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a podcast, Muhammad. Yeah.
And we have some rules on this podcast, Muhammad. And one of
what
them,
are the rules? There aren't no rules.
And one of them is phone's got to go while we're talking.
Oh yeah.
Slim is
fucking able about that.
If you want to go, if you want to one more,
one Snapchat.
If you want to get one more, that's fine. And then we're going. All right.
One Snapchat.
I mean, we're recording.
I have to tell the village that I'm out here doing.
Fair enough.
To help
that's fair enough.
This is why,
as long as you get people to find us, all right.
Aaron, you just. This is why.
This is why I call him Slim Anus, because he's fucking anal about everything.
We're having a conversation, man. We don't need no devices in our conversation.
I had to.
But yeah, get one more.
I'm building a brand for myself.
Exactly. Well, and you just talked about all the people you got,
so
get one more of us here.
Snapchat. Aaron said no.
Okay, so while our guest is Snapchatting.
This is it, folks.
Welcome.
This is the last of it, and then we're cutting him off. He's done.
Peace out, guys.
Okay. Welcome to the program, everyone. Earful in Emerald City. You're listening to us right now. I'm Shoddy.
You wish you were Slim.
Fuck you.
No, he's working on it, though. He's working on it.
I'm thick. I went from fat to thick in the past month.
Mm-hmm.
Across from me is Slim. Not Shady, not Jesus, not Anus. Just plain old Slim. And right beside me is our guest host for this week. It's a buddy of Slim's.
Good buddy.
I'm gonna toss it to you, Slim, because this is your guy.
This is my guy. He's one of my favorites. All right, this is a rising star here in the local Seattle comedy scene. A good friend of mine, Mr. Muhammad Gay, is joining us on the podcast today. Mr. Gay.
Okay,
with an E, assholes, all right? Don't be thinking anything crazy.
He hyped me up. I'm really nothing like he said, but I'm pretty perfect. No, I'm joking.
I thought that's what I was going for there. I thought I almost had it. Excuse me. No, but glad you're joining us today,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hey, you know, we had to get you on here. Like I said, you are definitely one of the funnier guys on the scene, and you're pretty fresh, and you're a little new to this, but you're definitely coming on strong. I had a couple friends who were saying, oh, man, yeah, he's pretty funny, you know,
because
they went to the mic the other night, which had his first open mic, did his first open mic, produced the show.
Where'd you go?
The Den Coffee House.
The Lion's Den.
The Lion's Den.
The Lion's Den down in Bothell, yep. Yes, great show. Open mic, minus the mic, so it was just it was just an open.
Yeah.
It was just an open, but
they had no mics there? They had no mics.
All we had was Negroes and vocal cords.
Negroes and vocal cords.
And a few Asians. And a few Asians.
Were there 40s there?
No.
No 40s then.
It was a coffee shop.
There were Negroes that sold out.
Dude, it was
coffee
crazy.
Coffee shop in the hood.
No,
Bothell.
Bothell, yeah, right. You kidding me? That place got a heart transplant.
Aaron, was that your first time performing in front of Africans?
I performed in front of a handful of black people, including this guy over here.
But that was Africans. That was Kunta Kinte.
That's true.
My country is where Kunta Kinte is from.
That's true.
No, I'm 11:59 p.m. dark. He's midnight dark.
I'm 12:01 dark.
Actually, no, 12, he is 12:01. Dark son of a bitch right here.
12:01 in Alaska in the wintertime.
I'm going to get a picture of him so you can compare. You can compare me in his pigment.
I hope you have a flash.
If you want to catch anything.
Jesus, man. I bet you were the bomb in hide and go seek when you were younger.
I'm still playing. I haven't been found yet.
Fuck, man. As long as you don't smile, you're fine.
They're still looking for you.
Jesus.
From the third
game. God, we're going in thick here, you guys. This is crazy. No, that was funny at the show the other night, though. Yeah. It was kind of funny. Like, I was looking at the audience as I was standing up there, yeah. And it was like the whole color pigment. Like, it started with white people on the left,
right.
And then it like got progressively a little bit darker, and then we got into some Asians. Yeah. There were some Asians in the middle, and then by the time we got to the right side of the spectrum,
Africa.
It was that's when we
did
reached.
Did you notice how I
motherland.
Had Mexico in the back too?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's true. You did. Yeah. You see, that was part of that middle section, the brown section.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I had everybody. There. That's what I said.
It was beautiful.
College kids don't come; the friends will come.
Yeah,
I should have rolled awesome, up. Man. I should have rolled up in there and screamed. And see, so you would have reacted.
You had one or two people that was their first time, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I had one person that was the first time. The other person was kind of newish, but not his first time. But one of them with the fur coat, the one that looked like, you know,
balling out of control.
Yeah, the other one. Yeah, he was new, but you know, I feel like I'm still pretty new, so I can't really talk about anybody. Yeah. I feel like I won't be satisfied till I make my first $1 million.
Yeah. Oh, gee. Wow.
You shoot all for right. $1 billion already?
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got you recorded. You're on tape here, so I'm going to hold you to this thing.
Okay.
All right. And when you do get there, I'm like, Mom, where's my fucking car, man? All right. I'm sick of driving a 98 Pontiac Grand Am, all right? I need to upgrade this shit.
You'll be there with me.
Help a brother out. Help somebody out. That's wow. Hey, you gotta shoot for the stars though, man. Yeah. You gotta shoot for the stars. You know what
sure.
What the hell? You know,
no,
you
sure.
You just gotta make those small
man,
goals.
When you come from where I come from, there's too much money in America to not make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like after high school, a lot of people went through like 4-year colleges. I just traveled.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the places I went was back home in Gambia, you know, and I stayed there for like 10 months in West Africa, and that's like 10 months in there, and then you come back here, you literally don't even understand why people don't have as much as they want to have,
because mm-hmm.
when you go there and then you come back here, you see so much more opportunity.
Yeah.
Everything's opportunity. So I feel like $1 million is very little for me to even aim at.
Yeah. Well,
but hey. For now, let's go for that.
All right. Hey, there you go. There you go. You can keep going up from there. That ain't the end.
I don't understand white people either. White people are unappreciative.
Some of them are. Some of them are.
Especially this son of a bitch across.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
How long have you guys known each other?
I've known him since September.
Yeah. Not even a full year now.
For sure.
Yeah. We got a pretty solid friendship.
We're
yeah.
still almost in the honeymoon phase, you could
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
We're close. Yeah, no, it's been good though.
Yeah.
I want to kick it back though, man, because I want to find a little bit about your past and your history and stuff. Like, how long ago did you move out here, man? And what made you come all the way to Seattle?
All right, I was born in Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
but I was raised in West Africa.
Okay.
So, when I was like a toddler, I got shipped back from Rhode Island to Gambia.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because my mom wanted me to learn the culture.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want me to, like, you know, grow up and be a quote-unquote American child, you know?
Yeah.
She wanted me to, like, go there and get my ass whooped, you know, earn respect. And if I don't learn the respect, get my ass whooped again, eventually I'll get the respect.
Did they name you Toby?
Oh, no, they tried to. I choked the shit out of that nigga. I'm joking. No, but I just got sent there, just like I said, just so I don't forget where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came
back. But the
back.
Plan was always to come back at some point.
Oh, yeah. It was always to come back. Like, during elementary school, I'd come every summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and second grade summer, I came. And my mom, you know, wanted me to stay here with her. And so I stayed here till the third grade summer. From the second grade summer till the third grade summer. But third grade summer, I would just keep crying because I thought America was too boring.
Too boring, really?
Yeah, so I got shipped back. Because down there, like here, you have to have plans with your parents. Your parents take you to the park. Down there, you can walk. You just go outside. Mm-hmm. You play with your friends. You get beat up by some. You beat up some. Yeah. But the next day, you guys both meet again at the soccer park. We don't really have too much money, so we got to go outside to entertain ourselves.
Yeah. Me and him talk about this all the time. And yeah, like when we were kids, even around here, because the internet wasn't as prolific as it is now, you know, and just everywhere. And yeah, you just had to go out and just entertain yourself somehow, you know, and hopefully you weren't breaking anybody's shit or, you know, fucking with cars or something, you know.
Or getting your shit broken.
Yeah, exactly. Or fucking with guys who are bigger than you. So, yeah, that's how you get it. That's awesome, though, man, that she kind of wanted to interject a culture into you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do the same with my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, when my kids are born, oh, I'm deporting them.
You're deporting their asses.
If I fail, Donald Trump will help. No.
Well, what about you have kids with a white woman? You think they'll make it over there?
I will deport her ass, too.
Oh, shit.
She would probably need to learn some culture as
well. Oh, shit.
White girls are very cultured around here, okay? They are very cultured.
You think she'll make it over there?
No, she will. They're really nice over there. Gambia's a super small country. It doesn't have, like, people digging for oil or diamonds, and which makes it peaceful. Because whenever you see places, people digging for those type of minerals, you know, money brings trouble. But Gambia's really tropical.
I saw a blood diamond a few years ago with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Connelly. Yeah, that was a really intense movie. I do not have the diamonds! I do not have the diamonds! Look at me! I do not have the diamonds!
Yeah, you won't have to worry about that in Gambia.
Okay, good.
But I mean, like,
I was a Gambia.
I can't say that everywhere in Africa is like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But then again, you could be like, man, Bothell is so chill. But catch yourself in Detroit. Some parts of Detroit isn't as chill. So, you know, there's give and takes everywhere you go, you know?
Yeah, there's pockets here and there, so.
For sure.
Wow, that's nuts though, man. So So how do you think that, like, plays into who you are? Like, that experience that you had going back and kind of soaking that up?
I think all that built me up. Like I said, third grade summer, I got sent back, and then I stayed there till sixth grade. Towards the end of sixth grade was when I really came back, you know, when I first came back. And one of my biggest experiences in America that I always remember and I like to bring it up is when I was in class in the seventh grade. And I remember a student telling a teacher that they're lying. And I was like, oh my goodness, he's about to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the teacher did was say, no, I'm not. I'm not lying. I was like, are you serious, man? If it was in Africa, they would, that would have been the end. Like, we would have gotten out of school that day and went to the kid's funeral.
But really, they're strict down there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, not strict, it's just that you can't say certain stuff to people older than you, and you just gotta, like, they're really big on respect. So I think, to answer your question, that's how it shaped me, because, like, I'm pretty big on respect, you know? It's like, we could joke around a lot, but, like, I try to not offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if I do say something offensive on stage, it's always, like, if you listen to the end of the joke, it's always towards me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, everybody can get on board with that, you know? Everybody can get on board with how much of a piece of shit that I am. You know? No one has any issues with that. Especially this guy over here.
You know what I would do to scare my... If I had children from where he came from, you know what I would do to scare the fuck out of them? I would make him watch Roots, and I say, "If you act up, this is what's going to happen to you."
In Rhode Island, come on.
yeah, maybe Rhode Island that'll work. I feel like Gambia, you get beat up so much that, like, Roots wouldn't really scare you.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, Roots was scary. Why?
Older kids just fucking with you all the time?
No, older kids. Even, like, in Gambia, they have a saying that if you're not respectful in the house, the streets will... What's the word in English? Like, the streets will teach you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's just like you could avoid all those butt whoopings, mm-hmm. but you have to avoid it by building a good mannerism.
Yeah.
That's okay. The only way around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's kind of like a karma thing too, you know, like what goes around comes around. So.
Exactly. But they don't let it go around. They just end it right there.
It stops it there.
Yeah.
That's not a bad way to play it.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, I want to, while you guys are both here, I want to clear this up. Okay. I feel like there's been a little something going on. There's been some tension. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but what's going on between the Africans and the African Americans?
Look,
all right,
look,
because you guys are clearly not on the same page.
Look, for some reason,
we got to get down to the bottom of this, you guys. We're trying to solve some big issues here.
For some reason, there are some African Americans here in this country that are telling us we need to go back to Africa. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know a goddamn person in Africa. I don't have any relatives. I've never been to Africa. Why the fuck would I want to go to Africa? Okay, I hate walking barefoot already, and I'm fat, so I gotta wear clothes. Why the fuck would I want to go to Africa?
Africa is Africa,
and they got no Indian food there.
No Indian food.
Ain't got no damn Indian food. I gotta eat lamb if I go there. Shit,
lamb
and rice.
Lamb is bomb. Okay.
Okay, I don't understand why go back to Africa. Motherfucker, I've never been.
Even your grandparents haven't been.
Yeah, my grandparents haven't been. Shit, I ain't going back to Africa. My ancestors built this country while Slim's ancestors laid in a fucking hammock drinking lemonade while my ancestors were picking cotton. They built this country. I ain't leaving America.
Do not leave America. Take America's money and help Africa, because there's people there that need it.
Yeah, Africa's kind of been shit on, like, out of all the continents in the last. Like, everybody had their bad run, you know. People in the North America got fucked. South America got really fucked. They got wiped out. And Africa, it's like just their turn on the chopping block, unfortunately.
No, I feel like it's been Africa's turn for 400 years now.
You think it's been 400?
Yeah, probably 422. But, no, like, all jokes aside, though, I feel like it's because Africa's so minerally rich.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand. When it comes to minerals, like, a combination of gold, diamonds, and oil, and just combination of all that, Africa's the richest continent.
Really?
Yeah, and that's why, that's part of the problem. That's like a gift and a curse, because it's so rich. Everyone is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Asia, America, everyone has posts there all over, and they're like taking over places, digging. You think all these rebels, you think Africans are funding these rebels in Africa? Like the blood diamond type rebels and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Africans aren't funding them. It's foreign countries funding them just to get to the minerals.
Yeah.
And when you're there and you don't have nothing, and like someone comes like, hey, I could offer you $10,000. All you gotta do is take over this village and just give me some minerals. You have nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
No job, nothing's working. Come on now, it's gonna, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like as long as the minerals there, everybody, it's just too many vultures for stuff to just go right sometimes. And I feel like that's why I'm glad that no one's digging for anything in Gambia.
Yeah.
It's just chill right by the Atlantic Ocean. You just go chill on the beach and just kick it.
Yeah. How's the economy there, though? Is there stuff that holds the economy up?
Better.
It could be better. Yeah,
it could be way better. But the fact that we're by the ocean helps a lot, you know? Whether it's fishing or transporting, exporting, importing goods.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And at least nobody's fucking shooting at each other.
Yeah. That's my biggest thing about it. It's peaceful.
Yeah.
Like, you could complain about anything, but peace is something you can't buy.
Yeah.
And it's peaceful. Exactly. So I go back as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time I'm there, I'm on the beach just chilling.
Yeah. I'd much rather have a shitty economy and yet nobody fighting, no civil war, than a good economy with people getting shot, you know, here and there. I mean, no. It's not worth it. Yeah. It's not worth it.
I don't know about you. I just want to say that I'd rather stay inside, air conditioned, making crack, then
making crack,
making heroin, then outside, over 100 degrees, digging for diamonds. I'd rather be a drug dealer than a diamond dealer. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that one.
That's Las Vegas right there.
Just saying, I'd rather be a drug dealer than digging for diamonds.
I don't know. I mean,
that's the difference between African Americans and Africans. African Americans, we like to stay indoors. Africans, they like to stay outside. That's why they are darker than us, most likely.
That's true. You guys can take those rays like a motherfucker.
That's true.
Africans are taking L's.
But it's like when you're raised, you know how here you guys got like 100 different television channels, you know? You're like, man, there's nothing on TV.
If you got the lame package, if you got the base model.
But for the most part, the most American, you know, they're like, man, there's nothing on TV, nothing on these 64 channels, you know? There, if you don't have nothing on your TV, what if you don't even have a TV? You're not going to stay indoors. You know? Like, what you going to do?
We're going to sit
like,
here?
You're going to go outside.
Do a crossword puzzle? Yeah.
And the diamond mining thing, don't get me wrong. I mean, a lot of people don't do it. But the ones that do it, they just need it to survive.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's like here you guys got food stamps, you know? If you ain't got food stamps and you know you could dig for diamonds, you're going to dig for diamonds. I know that for sure because there are people in America that could get food stamps and they're going to Africa to dig for diamonds.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I can't count how many.
How do I sign up for that?
How many? Wow.
How do I sign up for that?
Oh, you're the American brother.
Hey, you know what pisses me off when I watch movies that are taking place in Egypt?
Tell me.
A long time. A bunch of white people are in it. Egypt's in fucking Africa.
Egyptians are pretty light skinned.
Yeah, they
what?
Are. They're close to the Middle
East. I don't
want
to say white, but they're pretty much there.
Yeah. Well, and you look at like Libya too. Like yeah. I work in this part of the complex.
Libyans are pretty much there too.
Yeah, they're almost white. Yeah, they're almost
pretty much.
Yeah. White. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if that's because they're in Northern Africa, or is that like maybe because the Europeans came down and were fucking all the Africans? I mean,
just guessing. Like, I think it has a lot to do with like Middle Eastern travelers from way back. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Don't quote me.
It probably is. It's probably like the Roman Empire. You know, there's probably a lot of white people that were in North Africa back then.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so they probably, that's, I think that.
The traveling, especially from the Middle East back in the, like, prophet days. I think I'm just, back in the days.
Yeah.
I can't.
But Egypt, those, I mean, they're Middle Eastern, basically. You know, they're
pretty
not,
much.
They're on the African continent, but they're basically Middle Eastern.
I mean, they're African, but they're literally not, they're not dark.
Yeah.
Like, dark deck, but there is dark Egyptians.
Yeah. That just shows you how crazy of a continent Africa is, though. Like, you have all different kinds of colored people living on the same continent. It's like, look at North America. Indians, they're all light skin. They're all light brown, you know. Every one of them. They all look the same.
For sure.
And, you know, South Americans, same thing. But Africa, you get a little bit of everything. Especially if you're in South Africa.
Oh, South Africa, there's a lot of
Oh, yeah. So. Transplants, yeah, obvious.
Stuck up rich white folks.
Running shit.
Hey, if you guys were able to go to any part in Africa, what country would you guys go? He's going to say Cali.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I go to South Africa.
South Africa.
You go to South Africa?
Yeah. Because I just, it would just give me a reason to punch someone. I'd be walking down the street, or do y'all even have South Africa? So they have streets there. So
disgusting.
Fucking racist.
I'm racist.
Anyway, I'd be walking down the street and run into a white person. Hey, give me my keep pouring some iced tea, motherfucker. You can get your own iced tea. Shit. Just because I'm black don't mean I'm your servant, dude.
How about you?
God. We had already touched on it, dude. I'd have to go to Egypt, man.
Egypt?
I'd have to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
Just
the pyramids?
Yeah, it's just, it's so crazy to me that there was a civilization that was that advanced that lived out there in the desert like 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. And they were so advanced. And we know nothing about them now. Like, they're completely gone.
They don't exist anymore.
How do we know it's 3,000? See, that's just stuff
It's probably longer.
Like when scientists predict stuff, you know, thousands of years back or thousands of years in the future,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, bro, I'm not the one to tell you that you're lying if I don't have facts. But can you please prove to me what facts you have by saying? Because I don't know. I'm not saying it's not true, but it's just hard for me to believe that someone found out that someone was living 3,000 years ago and doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, what evidence do you think they have just because you're, you know, you're kind of interested in that? Do you know anything offhand?
Well, they do, like, that carbon dating and stuff, you know. I mean, there was different periods when there was the atmospheric levels, the composition of the soil, all kinds of those things. They were different era to era. You know, you had more oxygen sometimes in the air, like when the dinosaurs were around. Plants got a lot bigger just because they had oxygen. You had bugs that got gigantic for the same reason. You know, the chemicals that were in the environment were just perfect, and they always change. So they just kind of look back, and they can see the different periods as far as all that stuff goes. But there's still some guesswork in it, you know.
For sure.
They're not nailing those dates down. They don't know exactly when things happen. They just kind of have a like, gross
it was on a
idea.
Tuesday when they
started. yeah, exactly. The third Tuesday of the month, actually. No, I mean they don't know exactly, but it's just so crazy to me though that such an advanced culture lived that long ago.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
for sure.
And I mean, we've got where we are in the last like 200-300 years, like really fast.
Yeah.
But they were doing that shit 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's fucking insane. And think how good it looked back then. You know, when it wasn't fucked up, when they were maintaining it, when everything was fresh and new. I mean, the shit we see now has been standing for thousands of years.
Yeah.
It's been battered. So it's like we said, man. It's the fucking cradle of civilization, man. That's where everything came from. And
sure.
It's and people don't even understand the size of Africa either. Like, they don't even understand how big it is.
Yeah, they don't, because when you get here from Africa, one of the first questions you get is, do you speak African? Like, no, nigga, I'm Japanese. I mean, I speak a language in a African country,
mm-hmm.
but I don't speak African. It's a continent. I feel like a lot of Americans forget it's a continent, not a country.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's like saying, do you speak Europe? Nigga, no. I'm French, or I'm German, or I'm British. You know?
I'm French, monsieur.
You know, like, you don't just speak Europe.
Yeah, I know. It's, I know, Americans.
I'm going to walk up to a Russian next time I see him. Hey, do you speak Russian? do you speak Europe?
Do you speak Asian?
Yeah, right? Like,
yeah, dude, it's pretty ridiculous.
But it's funny, though. I love going back and forth, you know, talking to different people, learning stuff, laughing at stuff. It's funny. I love it.
Yeah. How old are you now, man? You're like, what, 22?
22.
Okay.
Damn, you're young.
Yeah, he is. He's. I told you, he's a rising star.
So.
He's a rising star in the comedy scene. Yeah.
I
swear, Africans, look, they don't age well.
No,
they really don't.
No, I don't age well. Africans age well.
Really?
You don't age well?
Yeah, I don't age well.
Are you moisturizing daily?
No, I don't do any of that.
Oh, Muhammad, what are you doing,
but
man?
But Africans don't do any of that and they age well. I think it's because of my weight problem.
What's your weight problem?
Your weight problem.
I'm fatter than most Africans.
Oh?
It's not like a problem, but it's just like...
This is true, because they're ripped as a motherfucker out there.
I guess you're right. Yeah, you do look like you could lose at least 4 pounds, Muhammad.
I weighed myself today, and like I weighed 213 pounds.
213, really?
213.
Wow.
Fuck you, man. I wish I was 213.
Yeah.
That's impressive, actually, for Africans. You're probably in the top 95th percentile.
No, I heard I was the 96th.
As far as weight goes.
I was the 96th. Heaviest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's impressive, but
yeah.
I guess we won't count on you to win any marathons, though. Let's look to the other guys for that.
Yeah, right?
Jesus Christ. That's crazy, man. Hey, you hold it pretty well, though, man. You do look older than 22. I mean, you don't look like you're about to die, but...
Yeah, no, for sure, yeah.
You look
no,
a little...
Sure.
You look like you're close to our age, you know?
Yeah.
So.
What's your age?
I'm 30. I turned 30 late last year.
Okay, what's yours?
I'm 28.
He's 28, yeah. So.
28 for the first time?
Yeah,
just no, just like Ludacris back for the first time.
Yeah,
another.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think about religion?
It's overrated.
It's overrated. You think so?
Yeah,
I'm glad you asked me about
think?
This. Actually, man, I'm glad you asked me about this.
I'm glad I did. I feel like this conversation can go somewhere.
Oh, it definitely can.
Okay,
me, here's what I think about religion. I think religion
had its time and place in history. It was very important. You know, we were just talking about it's ancient times, thousands of years ago. Shit was probably crazy back then, okay? Shit was crazy. There was savages walking around who would just kill people, you know, and wouldn't feel bad about it and just go on with their lives. I mean, shit was crazy. You kind of, we needed some kind of order. You needed to kind of try to prevent all that chaos. And I think religion was a perfect way to do that, you know, a perfect way to do that. Say, hey, there's this all-seeing person who knows what you're doing. And regardless if anybody else is around or not, he's going to see. So you better not fuck up. All right, and you better not be an asshole. Don't go fucking killing people for no goddamn reason. And it was important then. Is it important today? It's tough to say, man. It's tough to say. I think you can equate some good things and some bad things to it at this point.
Okay. So, respond?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like me personally, mm-hmm. I feel like religion's huge. Like, it is huge. You know, I feel like it keeps you, like you said, it brings order of things. And like you said, maybe nowadays it's not as needed because we got law and stuff. But if you think about it, law only goes so far. Because law, you do stuff and you don't get caught. And, like, God is real. God really sees and knows everything you are doing. So, for me, personally, I feel like religion's huge. Like, I'm a Muslim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proud Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. And, you know, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I try to do good when I can. Mm-hmm. Not perfect, you know, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
no.
But I try to do good when I can. And I feel like if it wasn't for my religion and my dedication to my religion and my pride about my religion, I would not care about most of these things. Because most people my age, I can't even be in the same room as them. Because mm-hmm. all they're worried about is turning up. Next minute thing, they're going to be 30. Worried about where the next paycheck's coming from. I'm worried about praying to God and building my future. So by the time I'm like, you know, like, by the time I'm older, I could be able to do, like, what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like religion helps me a lot. Keep me on the right path, in my opinion, you know.
You don't trust yourself if you didn't have religion in your life.
No, I trust myself, but I mm-hmm. just feel like if I didn't have religion, I wouldn't, like, I don't know if I would be as good of a person as I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yeah. I would be like, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like I would just follow people. I might, you know, I'm not a follower, but if I didn't have religion, I might, because I can't predict what another world version of me would it, you know,
yeah.
would mean without religion would be. But since I have it, like, the only person I should follow is what God says, you know. And I feel like with that being said, religion's helped me a lot and just helped me, like, have a much more mature mindset than most people my age. And yeah. I'm not just saying that just to say it. I'm saying this out of experience, yeah. you know.
That's interesting. What do you think, man?
Man, that was pretty deep. That was pretty deep. I'm just going to say, if all the African Americans and all the Africans in Africa, if they switch roles, I guarantee you white folks in America would love Africans more than they love African Americans. African Americans, they, you know, we just piss white people off with Black Lives Matter, like racist, stomping on the U.S. flag and shit. And Africans, man, they just do their own thing. They just do their own thing, and that's what white folks want. They want dark skinned people to shut the fuck up.
Well, I think we're just more concentrated on building a future.
Because
mm-hmm. most of us see what we come from. So it's like, sometimes it's not like we just want to be quiet. Sometimes we feel like if we keep on talking about it and nothing's going to change, why don't we just build our future so we change it all for us and our kids? Instead of complaining, just like, just work. There's the country's here. There's money here. If you don't give me opportunity in one thing, I'll find opportunity in another. I'm not going to like tell you about how you enslaved my ancestors for years and years Nah, you enslaved them, that's cool for you. But me, I'm not enslaved personally. So yeah, my free time, I'm using that to make your money mine.
Yeah, you're a free man. You can do whatever you want. You
know? So I feel like that's just the difference, you know, like we're just big on just building a future because we come from where we got so little.
Yeah.
Hence the leaving the house because we can't entertain ourselves inside. Mm-hmm. This is not every African household, but for the most part, you know, like, so I feel like we can't come here and complain about slavery. Yeah. We come here and just look at the money like, dang, I gotta go
You just gotta go for it, and that's all you can do. It's America, all you have control like over. Yeah.
I know people in Africa that would do anything to come here, so mm-hmm. I'm here. If I'm not trying to do anything and make my future and just complain about stuff, I'd be a fool and I would be ungrateful compared to the friends that I left behind.
Yeah. You know, I did a gig with 7-Eleven. I did some work there, and there was a lot of guys that worked at the 7-Eleven who were Ethiopian. And, you know, those guys, I got along with them really good. You know, the language barrier was a little tough at times, but, you know, they're good guys. Like, you can tell which when you talk to them. And, yeah, they just worked their ass off, man. They worked their ass off. Some of those guys, they're working, like, 72 hours a week.
Yeah.
Like, every single week. They go work 8 hours here, and then they work 8 hours there, and they go home and sleep for, like, 5-6 hours, and then do whatever for 2 hours, and then they go back to work. Yeah. And they do it, like, every single day. Oh. Just like, holy shit, dude, these guys are just beasts.
And you gotta understand that, like, I feel like it's not even their personally beast. I feel like they have a beast mindset.
Yeah, well, you have to have it. That's what it takes, you know, to keep yourself going and keep moving forward. And I agree with what you're saying about, you know, the complaining stuff. It's like the black people in this country, they foster this victim mentality much.
Yeah, someone owes them something.
Yes, like it's the victim mentality. It's like, oh, you've been wronged. Somebody did something bad to you. You know, it's like they just push it. The progressives and the liberals just push it so hard. And it's like, it doesn't take you anywhere. Yeah. It doesn't take you anywhere. And how do you declare when you've got out of that state?
Yeah.
You know, when Bernie Sanders gets elected and he gives everybody free health care and free schooling and all this stuff, do you say, oh, okay, I haven't been wronged anymore. I'm all even. Things are even, Steven. Exactly. I mean, you're never going to get out of it. It's a never-ending cycle, you know?
Yeah.
You're never going to get out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just it's just having a bad attitude. Yeah. You know, it's a bad mindset.
It is.
You got to try to stay positive as much as you can.
You have to. Because, like I was saying, like, your ancestors being enslaved, you're not enslaved. Mm-hmm. You know, people act like, oh, black people, we don't have opportunities yet. I've been to, like, comedy clubs that they literally did not want me on. And, like, I know they weren't trying to get me on. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get mad. Yeah. Like, I went. You know, if they don't play me, I came back the next weekend. And I kept on going. But the day I did have my chance, mm-hmm. I made sure they knew I was someone to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Why do you think they didn't let you on?
Dang, my baby girl, call it. Why didn't I think? It has to do with me. Them not knowing me, and of course me being black, and I'm not the one to be like, oh, that's racist, because
you think you weren't upset about that?
I wasn't happy about it, but it was not going to keep me from hustling. It was not going to. I wasn't going to sit back and be like, man, these racist fools, I ain't messing with them, you know? No, yeah. I'm going to keep coming, and mm-hmm. I don't hold grudges.
Yeah,
you know, like. I can't bring up no names because, like, if you do, then you are holding grudges. But it's happened definitely. To me with, like, different people.
Mm-hmm.
And now those same people are super cool with me, you know? Yeah. And it's like, dang, you didn't even want to give me a chance. I had to come, like, different weeks, try out and stuff. And I was trying so hard to do stuff that other comedians just had to show up and perform.
Yeah.
And I knew I was better than them. But mm-hmm. I was not going to sit back and be like, man, these racist fools owe me stage time. I was here since 6:30. I was here. Nah, I'm going to keep coming. Because dedication proves always, like, that my English is not all that great when I'm explaining, by the way. But, like, when you keep on trying, eventually God will help you something succeed. Even the people mm-hmm. that hate you, hatred is just a disease in the heart.
Yeah.
You hate me today, tomorrow you could be cured and you love me. And when you open your heart out, when you open your arms out, I'll open mine out. We can hug it out. It's over.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can't let the negative people and the people that are trying to bring you down, you can't let them occupy too much of your thoughts and your time.
You know, I mean, because that's just negativity, and there's always going to be those people out there. And in the comedy game specifically, there's a handful of people like me personally. I'm like you. I try to be nice to everybody. You know, I some people I don't think are as funny as others. You know, and I don't really like their comedy, but that's fine. It's that's not their deal. You know, whatever. I try to be nice to everybody. There's still people out there. Like you see them at the club and you talk to them. You say, hey, what's up? And you can kind of just tell it like, yeah, hey, what's up? Whatever, man. Yeah, whatever. Dude, why are you even trying to talk to me? Yeah. It's just like, okay, I thought we could just be cordial, but you know what? You just got to get past it. You can't let them change your mindset and get inside of your head.
Yeah, like some people would be like, oh, I was trying to be nice, but like these people in here are dicks, so I'm just gonna be a dick. No, now you're the same as the people you were complaining about,
and you made the whole situation worse.
Yeah. So me, bro, like I've experienced a lot of racism, you know, but like that would never stop me. Like in Europe. Man, I experienced different kind of racism in Europe.
Where'd you go in Europe?
I was in England. Like, these stories are in England. I was also in Germany.
Okay.
But these stories are in England. Like, I went to this club once, and, like, I know I dress good, you know? Like, if I don't dress good, I don't want to dress good.
He's wearing light purple sweats right now, just so everybody knows. So we can confirm that he's telling the truth. Please continue, though.
But so I went there, right? And then they let these British white guys, like, pass, you know? And they were just wearing regular stuff, super regular. I came, and they said no. I asked them, okay, so why? Because I'm not the one to get mad. I'm a happy person. You know? You're not going to ruin that.
Yeah.
So I was just like, why? Like, why can't I go, you know? They said I wasn't dressed professional.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, I was like, what do you mean? Like, did you not see him? They say, yeah, I'm dressed like a gangster. I'm like, you know, I can't take the skin off. You know, because that's the only thing that looks gangsterish. Like,
do you want me to go whiteface? Is that what you guys want me to do here? Know,
but with all that being said, like, I ended up having a great time in England. I'll always go back because you can't let negative people ruin your experience, you know?
Otherwise, because there's too many of them around, and they'll completely screw you over.
Yeah,
I agree on that.
What do you think about the dress club at the club? The dress code at the club. I mean,
like at any dance club.
Yeah.
So I haven't been to dance clubs in forever, but the town I went to college to, they had this club called Grand Central Station. For anyone who went to Angelo State. Up to the late 2000s, you're listening to this, you know what the fuck I'm exactly talking about. It is the shittiest dance club that you will experience, but if you want
to... What's it called? Sorry.
Graham Central Station. But hey, if you wanted to find... This is in Texas, by the way, not here in Washington.
Okay. Yeah.
If you wanted to find some strange change at night, that's the perfect place to go. But anyway... there was no tall white tees, no flat bill hats. I remember I had flat bill hats, and they would make me bend them and adjust them.
No flat bills.
Yeah. This is in ultra-conservative West Texas, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
No baggy jeans, even if they fit you. They were strict. No Timberlands.
boot cut jeans only. Yeah,
right. No
flare.
Yeah, no Timberlands. But hey, Billy Bob over here can walk in with a white beater and a cowboy hat.
And overalls on.
And overalls, and he'd be good to go.
And a goat.
Yeah. But hey, you know what pissed me off?
A random farmer.
You know what pissed me off the most about... Not in the dance club, but there were some bars in San Angelo, and they still have this. They do not have rap music on their internet jukeboxes because they think the rap music will attract a bad crowd.
Oh Jesus!
That pissed me off, and the bars that do that, I don't even go in there anymore. I'm not. No, seriously. Seriously. What the fuck do you mean that it attracts a bad crowd? I mean, everyone listens to rap music. Do you listen to rap music?
Oh, yeah.
Do you listen to rap music?
I used to a lot.
You used to?
I don't listen to music.
And then you found God.
I mean, it's not because I found God. I feel like I could watch lectures. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to lectures while I'm driving and just learn something. But I definitely know where you're coming from.
I don't get the dress code at the club at all. I don't get this thing at all. Okay. Yeah. It's like, you guys are just trying to prove how cool you are. Like, by making us look good. Like, I can get as dressed up as you want. Yeah. There's going to be 25 ratchet ass hoes who are showing their fucking pussy lips inside of the building, all right? I mean, why do I gotta look? What are you guys trying to make yourself look like, huh? This isn't a goddamn daycare, all right? This isn't a grade school. It's a fucking nightclub where people are gonna drink their ass off, probably do a bunch of drugs, and end up banging somebody that they're gonna regret the next day, you know?
True.
I mean, what are you guys trying to do? No flat billed hats? What are you kidding me? Do I have to have the sticker on my new era still to get in? Like, yeah. It's ridiculous, dude. That's a big part of why I can't even go to those
places. The flat bill hat part, that confused the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
I'm glad I stopped going clubbing. Like, you know how when people turn 21, they start going crazy?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I did everything before I was 21. Mm-hmm. When I turned 21, I just relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, when I turned 21, I stopped doing every stupid stuff because I feel like I started too early, and like I would not change that for a world, because now I'm just worried about my future.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, enough fun, let's make something, build a couple of schools in Africa, let's do something to help someone or help ourselves.
Almost kind of good about getting that out of your way early, you know, getting that partying and that drinking and all that stuff out of your system kind of early, is that, you can be like you in your early 20s and be like, it was fun, but I'm kind of past it. Yeah, I mean, it almost works out well, you know. At the time, you're like a rebel and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, but a lot of times it ends up working out in the long run, so... Yeah. But me, I started way back then and just been going constant the whole time, pretty much. You know? all 15 years now, you know? So, yeah, but hey, you know, you got to get
mindset.
By sometime.
It's all mindset. I can't do nothing you can't ever.
Yeah.
I can never do anything that you cannot do.
Yeah. Well, you got to just have your head in the right place, you know? Yeah. I think I've said this on the podcast once, but this guy had played cards at the casino, kind of a loony guy, but he had one saying that was good, and it was the longest journey is 6 inches from here to here. You know, that's the longest journey you can take, and if you can control your attitude,
his temple to his other temple,
mm-hmm.
here to
ear. Yeah. Yep. And if you can control your attitude, you can control your altitude, you know, and you can go however high you want. So
true. So did you say you're from Texas?
Yes, I grew up in Texas. I lived there for 18 years.
What made you come here from Texas?
My now ex-girlfriend.
Oh, damn. I forgot
I
to ask you
if
we
was
were
ready
gonna...
for that.
I forgot to ask you if we were going to get into that. Oh, shit.
You're going to ask me if you...
Well, no, before the show, I didn't know if it's just the wound is... I know it's still a little fresh.
Well, yeah, it happened not even a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
We still live with each other. We're cool. We're going to remain friends.
They signed a contract.
Well, actually, we're under a lease. but at the end of July, it's up, and I'll be moving. Hopefully, I'll move to Seattle. I would like to live in Seattle.
Like
right now, I live in Bellevue. Probably not downtown. I can't... I'm not a millionaire yet, so I can't live downtown.
But Bellevue?
Bellevue. I live in Factoria. That's where the normal people live.
Yeah, it's further south, where the peasants are at.
And go fuck yourself. And I would like to live in my desirable spots in Seattle, Capitol Hill, Northgate, and what are some other dope spots?
Not Ballard. Ballard is not dope. Wallingford's cool.
I heard Wallingford's cool.
Northgate's not bad. There's a lot of good spots over here. What, you like it up in Bothell?
I love Bothell because it's chill.
Yeah, it's definitely
Bothell is too north for me right now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's way too north.
I just like the environment.
Yeah, I love the Northeast. We started out living in Woodinville.
The Northeast.
What? That's what it is, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I started out living in Woodinville, and oh my gosh, like when I start making real money, I would love to be settled in Woodinville and buy a house out there, but...
Is that Woodinville by Bothell?
Yes, yeah, right by Bothell.
You just want to be out there because of all the fucking wineries and breweries and shit. That's why you want
to
be out
there. And there's this winery, I swear to God, like only single like the stay-at-home moms go there because it's only open.
No, that's Disneyland.
No. Well, no, it's only open between noon to five, so I guarantee you the single mothers and the stay-at-home moms go there, and that's when I come in and be like, hey, what's up? And they call me? They call me the Cougar Hunter Crikey.
You are, dude. You fucking love those older girls, man.
Yeah, I really do.
Jesus Christ.
Is that just in case anyone of you guys just
listening?
Yeah.
Shotty's back on the market.
Oh, shit. The moment all you ladies have been waiting for.
Yeah.
God.
Shotty's back on the market.
That is funny. But hey, if you really like MILFs, you need to go to Disneyland.
Disneyland is across the country.
Disneyland in Cali.
Wait, really? Why? Out of all places, why Disneyland?
Yeah.
Okay, first, you don't expect it. You're like, man, this place is for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But you see a lot of moms that could afford it. And those are the quote-unquote independent ladies. You know, like, I don't need a man to take me and my son. I'm going to hey, Devontae, get ready. We going up.
Okay, I can provide for my kid and maybe take him to Disneyland like he needs.
Maybe they don't all sound that good.
That's my baby.
But for the most part, though, I went there and I saw so many MILFs. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, this is really like a hunting ground for MILFs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you liking MILFs, you need to go there, get on some rides, and maybe after that you might be able to get on some other rides.
Oh, geez. Back at the hotel?
I'm just giving tips.
Dude, I think what it is, it's like for like trophy wives or, you know.
Like rich. They look rich, too.
It's a photo shoot for them. It's a photo shoot. They got to have it on their Facebook profile that they took their kid to Disneyland, you know? It's like one of those things you got to check off the list. Like, so they're looking plush and beautiful every time you see them.
They look so good. I'm like, bro, are you here to take your son on a ride or are you going to a music video shoot? Like,
yeah.
They look so good. Especially music video the hose. Mexicans.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw so many, like, they had to be Latina.
Mm-hmm.
Moms, like they, God bless them all.
God bless them, dude. The Latina's the one that I still haven't crossed off the list. I got a halfer, but I feel like it's not the same. You know, I feel like you need the full 100 to get that really that wildness. You know, oh, definitely
just so you know.
wild as fuck. But you know what? Hey, you got to take it. You got to easy come, easy come, easy go. All right, you know, you got to just roll with it. Yeah, take the ass whoopings every once in a while to get
to
beat it up. But yeah, that's the one I still got to cross off the list, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking earlier today. I was like, you know what? This is random, but okay. Should I start with random or not random?
Start with not random.
I'm going to start with not random. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that I have never had sex with a full Asian.
Oh, yeah.
And then the random part, I was thinking, even though I haven't had sex with a full Asian, I'm pretty sure their vagina is not sideways. And I don't know why I put so much thought behind it. I was just like, is it? I mean, I wouldn't bet like a car on it, but I would bet like a couple bucks on it that it's not sideways. Like,
mm-hmm.
You can't bet more than $50 on something you're not sure about.
No.
Pussy is straight from left to right.
Yeah.
And we can ask this guy right here. This guy's the
Asian
King,
magnet?
King Asian pussy wrote
You're
over
lying.
Here.
I do. I
need help with an Asian girl.
I have the fever.
I need to have me an Asian girl.
I have the fever. It's, I think it's the fact that I'm a reasonably looking white guy more than anything, you know, that does it for me.
No, that's
It's
true.
Certainly not my employment status that's killing it with me in the Asian community.
Asians have their own money.
That's true. Well, like you said about the Africans, they're willing to work for it, if nothing else.
That's
you know, they're willing to get. And you want to talk about people who don't complain?
Yeah.
The fucking Asians do not complain about a goddamn thing.
If you ever need a wingman for Asian girls, but I don't think Asian girls like guys as dark as me. I feel like if I was light skinned like him, it'd be a little bit better. But me, I feel like I'm too dark for Asian.
You are.
I might be.
I mean, I know it is black or the berry, the sweeter the juice.
I feel so flattered. No one's ever called me dark. I mean, no one's ever called me light skinned before.
He's never been to Africa.
No one's ever called me light skin before. I feel so happy. You made my day.
It sounds good.
If I brought him to my family reunion, they'd be like, who brought the white guy?
Who brought...
What is this, Caucasian friend?
Who the hell names a white guy Rashad? Who does that?
Yeah.
It's a Muslim name.
That is funny.
It's
that
actually Arabic.
That is funny.
But holy shit. I'd be the white guy at African family reunions.
You'd be the white sheep in our family.
The white sheep.
Yeah. The white sheep. It'd be a bad thing, though, in that scenario. No, you wouldn't want it at that point. Funny.
But hey, all jokes aside, though, you need to give me a tip. Give me and whoever's listening a tip or two on how to catch, keep, or attract Asian women. Because they're high on the market right now.
Oh, dude, their stock has been like, rising for the last, like, decade, too. It's at an all-time high right now. Their stock is at a 52-week high right now.
It's crazy right now. I need to invest. Like, how would I invest my chips, sir?
Dude, I'm just going to say this because you brought it up already. But, yeah, I've talked about this before. Asian women have just passed white men as the most privileged group of people out there these days. The most privileged group is Asian women. The world is your oyster if you're an Asian woman right now. If you're cute, oh my God. The possibilities are endless. I mean, you can look like a guy, and even as an Asian chick, you can get by. You know, you'll get by. You'll be okay, but you just gotta be nice to them, man. I mean, it's like most girls. They love it when you're funny, you know, and you're kind of sweet. I mean, they don't talk too much, so if you want to take the lead in a conversation, they're okay with it, you know? I mean, don't ramble on and don't be boring or uninteresting, but they'll let you kind of take the lead. And I do that a lot of times when I'm talking to girls, you know? I'll run with it a little bit, try not to get too heavy-winded, but, you know, keep it going for a minute, get a couple laughs at them and let them, you know, see where they want to take it at that point. But I don't know, man. It just
that sounds smooth. Dude. You sound smooth. Okay.
The Asian chicks and the white guys, it's just one of those things that's kind of clicking right now. Yeah. I can't even explain it, really. No,
it's been clicking for a while. I was just trying to get intel from you people.
Yeah, they like the funny, man. So you got the funny going, you know, and you can just kind of, you know, just be sweet and, you know, give them a little time.
I think the quiet part is kind of gonna like contradict, because like I like girls that are like, man, who you think this is? Like, I like girls with a. I think that's why I go well with Latino women. Like, I like girls with a little bit of feist.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because then I feel like my conversations work a lot better when you're giving me something to feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you're just super shy, I'm just like, okay, so why the chicken pasta? I run out of stuff to say, you know?
That could be it, man. That could be it. Because, yeah, a lot of times Asian girls are they're a little bit shy. They're definitely a little bit shy in general. Yeah. And unless you get like a half Thai, like half black chick, you know, and then she's got more sass than she even knows what to do with. But those chicks are some of the most gorgeous. I don't know what it is. Like, there's, again, like I was saying, there's certain configurations. Like, I don't know what it is. Like,
no, Asian and black beard is just.
Oh, gorgeous. My God. Like, yeah, dude. It's epic. It really is epic. No, especially when it comes to the women. Like, yeah, like half Thai, half black. Oh, my God. It's just insane, dude. Whereas, like, me, I personally think when I see, like, half white, half Asian babies, like, I think they look fucking weird. I think a lot of them look really weird.
Like, you're the one that likes Asian.
And I'm a white guy. And I'd presumably be having a half Asian baby if I did have one, you know, at this point at least.
I feel like they don't look as weird as they do simple. Mm-hmm. Because black and Asian, it just pops. You know, they have that like Rashad color with like the Asian eyes.
Yeah.
Sorry if it sounds like I just hit it on you.
Yeah.
But
I can picture it though. I got a little chub right now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But like.
Gross.
But when it's like white and Asian, I feel like the skin tone between white and Asian is so close that it looks just like the baby looks Asian, but not as chinky eyes.
They either look like a retarded version of white people or a retarded version of Asian people.
Yeah, it looks like, okay, no comment, because I need my Asian fans. I need to build my Asian fan base. So I have not had an Asian kiss in 22 years.
I've never had sex or kissed an Asian girl.
Oh my God, dude.
Really?
Really?
Is there a lot of Asians in Texas or not?
Fuck no. Oh no, they all live in Austin because Austin's a tech city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it rich? Like, do you have to be rich to live in Austin?
Austin's rent, their cost of living has gone up a lot over the past few years, and it's becoming overpopulated. But the problem with Austin is it's not as spread out as Seattle. And
what do you mean?
Austin's a little big city.
okay.
Like size wise, it doesn't have that hometown feel anymore. Like Seattle, like we were talking about this. We were talking about this last week. How Seattle has just lost that home sweet home feel,
mm-hmm.
because there's so many people that aren't originally from Seattle that now live here, and I think that there's more transplants that live here than people that actually grew up here.
Mm-hmm. Recently it's definitely had that surge, and you know, I was going to say, you're talking about Asians, and yeah, we're definitely like a hot spot for, like, there's a lot of Asians around here. I mean, you go to the East Coast and there's not a lot of Asians. You came from Rhode Island, so you kind of know that. New York has a lot of Chinese people and stuff, but yeah, it's just a popular thing around here, man, and I don't know what it is. And back to the kids there,
I think it's the economy. Asians are very smart. Mm-hmm. Seattle has really good economy.
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, and it's a good hub, you know. It's
and
probably
Microsoft,
the closest from
right
Asia.
There, Amazon,
yeah.
Boeing,
mm-hmm.
They're coming here.
In droves, man. Yeah. And I'm loving it, dude.
And Aaron is right here.
Oh, God. And bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Dude, I did a thing for 7-Eleven, and I was on the Ave. That was one of the stores I had to work at down on the Ave near the University of Washington. There were so many Asian girls walking around. So many little cute little Asian girls. Like, just all over the place. Like, literally, I counted at one point. I counted 20 girls that walked by. Guess how many of them were Asian?
20?
16.
I believe it was... I think it was 14.
You should have said
23. Yeah. 23. Two of them are Siamese twins.
Yeah.
No, 14 Asians out of 20, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, that's more than a majority. That's an overwhelming majority. Yeah. Like, and that's just in the girl department. Like, I couldn't believe it, man.
And that's all that it matters, really, in the girl department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm open to new friends, but I need me an Asian girlfriend.
Yeah, dude. We'll have to get out there, and we can wingman it here, you know, because I need some new fresh blood, and you know, you got the black thing going, man. Just the amount of inherent coolness you have as a black person. You guys, I don't think you completely realize, you know, like it's almost like you got +5 on the scorecard before you even start, just because you're black, you know, just because you're black. I mean, I know there's racist people out there, but around here, everybody's pretty good. And there's a coolness factor that I'm jealous of you guys, you know, like I got to get over the hump and I got to do a little song and dance before people are like, what the fuck is this quirky ass cracker? What's going on with this guy right here?
I'm getting pretty nervous because I feel like Slim's found a new wingman with Muhammad over here, and he's going to fire my ass.
Oh, no, no,
he's
no.
going to fire my black, well, my white ass compared to him. So
I don't go to bars, so you're still on.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He's got the religious thing going, and, you know, I already know I'm going to hell, yeah, so
but
he doesn't want me to bring him down.
If you guys do find, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you guys do find...
Wait, what? What the fuck did you just say? Hey, let me try to translate that.
Please be a funny girl. But if you guys do find 3 Asian girls,
mm-hmm.
and you do need a wingman,
mm-hmm.
sober environment, I'm your guy.
Oh, Jesus. Do you want me to get laid or not, Muhammad? All right? Sober environment? Are you kidding me? I got to have a chance
at
least.
That's the best way. Sober
I got to have a... There's no chance if it's a sober environment.
If you get laid in a sober environment, oh, they're yours.
Yeah, and I'm also going to bust a nut after like 7 seconds, all right? I need a little bit of whiskey dick on my side.
Think about Oprah.
Oh, God.
De Kavassier will have you going all night.
There's a sweet spot in it. Like I've noticed now. I've come to my drinking. There's a sweet spot. I gotta be like 4 or 5 beers in, maybe a shot.
Yeah.
And oh man, I'm ready to go all in the fucking night, man. You know, I'm not too drunk to where I'm done, but I got a little bit in me where I got a little.
You see that sweet spot you find with so many beers? I bet you anything you can find that same sweet spot without any alcohol,
mm-hmm.
or drugs or anything. You could find that sweet spot.
it's
you look for it, it's there. Because it's not the alcohol brings it. It's just the alcohol that accesses it.
Yeah.
So if you let your body access it, you don't need anything else.
You got to be going consistently, though, man. I mean, if you're on a cooler and then you get an opportunity...
You're gonna fucking key? You're gonna lose it quick, man.
No, you know what's the key? If you go and you know, okay, I can't go a minute more, yeah? You stop, you pull out, you look at her and talk some shit like, girl, you ain't even ready for this turnover. You know, act like shit. You're trying to switch position.
Wow.
You gotta play it off.
Like
you
a fucking G.
That's a good way to play it off. Yeah.
Get out, look at her like, girl, you really want this problem, turn your ass over. While you be Cooper.
That's good, man. You do. That's the pull-out method that I support.
And always add shit talking so they think like that's just part of your style.
Yeah. Girl, you ain't ready for this because if I didn't move, it would have been all over you.
Yeah. Turn your ass over.
Wow, that's good, man. Look at you, the young guy's even teaching me a little something in the bedroom. Wow, this guy's
knowledge has no.
This guy's laying it. See, I'm telling you, man.
I'm pretty sure you could teach me a lot.
Well, you know, I got a couple moves. We'll talk after. All right, I don't want to expose too many secrets on here, but yeah. Fucking hey, man, we're getting a little late here, though. We've gone a little longer than we thought here, so we should probably wrap this baby up, you know,
before it's too late. Well, these guys aren't wrapping up. Mm-hmm. They be talking about pulling out and shit.
That's the no premature ejaculation
part. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's different. That's a little bit different. Yeah. So
pull out shit talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank
yeah,
you.
Hey, yeah, I'm glad you made it out, man. Yeah.
Take me to Texas someday.
No, you don't want to go to Texas. You do not want to go to Texas.
They're not big on your type around there.
You're a Muslim, so they're going to think that
I'm black and Muslim.
You got two strikes already. All right, yeah. And if you wore that hat, that's number three. It'd be over. Yeah. It'd be completely over.
Cowboys.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're not the bomb squad and the instinct.
But yeah, guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Anytime.
We'll do this again soon. Like I said, man, if you guys are on the local comedy scene, check him out. Muhammad Gay. All right, he's coming up quick. He's got some good jokes, but. Yeah, thank you guys for joining us. If this is your first time and you guys are still listening, we appreciate it, and we hope it was interesting for you. Hope you guys liked it. Let us know what you think. And like we always say, you guys are the best thing we got because we ain't got shit. I'm sitting in a goddamn lawn chair right now, you know? So
Comedy Underground on the 11th next month. Come. If I don't make you laugh, you get a free punch.
Oh, what kind of punch? Hawaiian punch or what?
Like body punch.
And
it depends on how big
you are. Oh, Jesus. What are you gonna bomb on purpose then?
What about they look like me?
Oh, okay. Then you might have to get a free body punch on the air.
Okay. I'm feeble, man. Come on. We already discussed this. I'm a skinny prick, all right? I'm like a Kenyan with white skin. It's bad, man.
But yeah, Comedy Underground on the 11th, Black Laughs Matter.
Black Laughs Matter, folks. You heard it first. Muhammad Gay, thank you for joining us, and thank you all for joining us on An Earful in the Emerald City. I'm Slim from Muhammad Gay.
And I'm Shoddy. Make sure you check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and we are out.
See ya.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.